Welcome to Parenting Matters. This is Parenting Matters, where we talk about parenting matters. Why? Because parenting matters.
Right. Welcome back to Parenting Matters. This is our Christmas edition. The next couple weeks, we're going to talk about parenting matters. I'm looking at the calendar right now, and Thursdays are the 3rd, the 10th, the 17th, and the 24th. So the week of Christmas, I would guess, we probably will not have a Parenting Matters.
That makes sense.
Sorry. And we probably won't have one on the Thursday, the 31st either, because our offices are closed. And I can just tell in Tanya's eyes, she doesn't want to come up here on a day off. So we will be back. We're going to have this podcast with next week's podcast.
Blamed it all on me.
Yeah.
Like you wanted to come up here on your day off.
Do it all the time. I actually have to preach one of those. No, I have to preach on the 20th. So
you're safe.
I'll be around. Let's see. So the 7th, we'll be here next 2 weeks. We have 2 weeks of podcasts today and next week. And then we'll be back on the 7th in 2021.
Wow. That is crazy. 2021.
And a lot of people are thinking and hoping that 2021, just everything kind of resets and wipes the slate clean.
Yeah, I don't know. That's realistic. I don't know why everybody's saying that. I mean, I guess it's just a hope.
Right? It's also like normal, you know.
Like the new year.
The pandemic has accentuated the hope and wish for just a complete reset, push the reset button, wash that thing clean, and start over. Yeah. But most years, people come into the new year going, okay, this year I'm going to do this. This year I'm going
well,
to do that.
Well, that is true. I get that part where you go into the new year with some intentions of what you're going to do differently, but this is just the hope that things are automatic. They're just magically going to be better. You know, no more COVID in 2021 or something. I don't know.
But that's
what it seems like.
I think, you know, when you come into a new year, if maybe your job situation isn't what you want, you're thinking, okay, this is the year that I'm going to do this, or your diet isn't the way that you want, or your exercise.
Make your resolutions.
Or even maybe your relationships with your kids or your spouse or friends or things like that. People use this as a starting point. And again, the pandemic, I think, has it's made it to where it is a thing that we just want to go away.
Right.
And usually we don't have the thing that we just want to go away.
Right.
There are certainly people in life that are like, man, if I could just stop doing this affair, or if I could just stop whatever the thing is that you know that you should do and you haven't walked away from, the new year is always that time where people at least have a good intention to go away. But I think just like the pandemic, unless we choose to let go of the thing that we're holding on to that we're not fully giving to God, it's not going to go away.
Right. I think it's great to go into the new year with goals, resolutions, whatever you want to call them.
I think it's good to go another day.
I'm in this health group or whatever, and there's a coach, and every week it's like, what are your intentions for the week?
Mm-hmm.
You know, for your health. Set your goal for the week or whatever.
I've never been a resolution guy, and I've never really even been like a, on Monday I'm getting everything right.
I'm that girl, for sure.
I've never,
on Monday.
I think that's, you know, dieting and exercise and things like that are always the catalyst to a lot of those.
Yeah.
But they also, they do extend out to a lot of other things. I've never been the guy that said, well, I've really messed this thing up this week, I'm going to start next week afresh.
So you're not the all or nothing.
No, I am, if nothing, a model of consistency in the way that I am.
That's good.
So,
that's a great trick. I'm working on that.
It is. And it helps. The problem is, for me, is if I don't do it, right? Like, if I can tell I'm not going to keep up with this, then I'm just not doing it at all.
But at least
I don't even start.
Huh?
So, like,
that's still kind of the all or nothing.
It is, but it's not. I just try not to lie to myself.
Yeah.
Because if I know, man, okay, and right now I'm thinking of like a new workflow of some sort. There's different apps that you can use to do different things, right?
Yeah.
Right now, most of the things that I do are on regular calendar and notes.
Yeah.
And I'd love to find a better system. And every system I find, I look at it and I go, the reality of me getting into this is not going to work.
I'm not going to
abandon the thing that I do now because it's not better for me.
Right.
And so I just don't even do it.
Yeah.
Whereas most people are like, all in.
Gotcha.
We're going to do everything. I'm buying this thing. I'm trying. I'm doing it. And the next thing you know, 6 months later, like, I'm writing on this paper.
Yeah. back to normal.
It's a problem for me because it keeps me from trying a lot of things.
Right. I see both sides.
Yeah, sure. that's the thing.
I think, like, I am the person that says, oh, I failed diet, exercise, whatever. It's other things, too. Reading books, whatever. Like, I'll just start again next month or I'll start again Monday. So I'm working on not being that person. You know, like, it's okay to try and fail is mm-hmm. what I'm also trying to learn.
And,
like, all right, you can try again, start again. 30 minutes, start again in 3
right.
hours,
yeah, right.
start again
the, you take
right
a break.
Now.
And taking a break is important if you fail, because you got to assess, you've got to realize what happened, what went wrong, but then you do need to try again.
Yeah.
You do need to get back on the horse, as they say. And listen, you may be thinking, did I check into a parenting show, or did I check into self-help show?
Sorry.
No, it's fine. I really don't think we need to deviate. The reality is,
sure.
and the reason we're talking about this is... every year, every week, every day, as a parent, you go, man, I think I really messed this thing up.
Yeah.
And
I'll try again when my kids are
older. I can think of
multiple
scenarios just in this week, and it's been a good week, where I went, oh, man, I wish that maybe I would have spoke up in this scenario, or maybe I would have not said the thing that I said in that scenario, as was well documented right now. And you have to understand, I have great kids. I have wonderful kids.
Yeah.
They're fantastic. But sometimes they don't meet my expectations. And so, and
that's
bad.
That's people for you, right?
Yeah, that is bad. Yeah, that's people. But my son is one of those, he's in my target sights right now.
Uh-huh.
As the, he hasn't met the expectations that I've tried to lay out for him as far as like his desire to drive, his desire to work out, his desire to take advantage of some of the great benefits and opportunities that he has in front of him. And it causes me to do things and to say things and to treat him certain ways that, in the grand scheme of things, as we talked about weeks and weeks and weeks ago, that's not up to me. All I can do is point him in the direction.
Yeah.
Ultimately, he gets to make the choice.
And
I just don't want him to make bad choices. That's the thing. When I see so much potential in people, I have a hard time letting it go because I don't want them to miss the potential. That's the coach in me that's always been like, I can see this.
Yeah.
I want you to see this. And what I learned in coaching is a lot of people, even though they may know it's in there, even though you tell them, and even though you see how passionate you are, they're just not in them to do it, to
that's
reach the potential.
So is it that he's not reaching his potential, or is it just that that's not his interest? Like maybe he's... like you talked about before, excels at other things. So is he just not reaching potential, or he's just not having interest in the things you want him to have interest in?
Okay, so that's a great question because I can see why you think that. And yeah, so I have intention to not force him ever to do the thing that I
right.
want him to be.
And we've talked about that before.
I know that he's very different than me, and I know that because my wife is very different than me.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned that the things that I value, the things that I was modeled and put forth to as a kid may not have been the right way, right? Like I played football because my dad played football and he really wanted me to play football, and even though I liked playing, but I was terrible at it because I was so small, that wasn't really an option.
Mm-hmm.
And I told myself I'd never do that to him. For me, the reason why I get onto him so much right now is that it doesn't seem that he's trying anything.
So you see a character.
Right? The things that he's naturally good at, he does fine in, right? Like
but isn't trying.
Yeah, but like he could excel
at
those things. And so I want him to understand how
to work for something.
Yeah, how important it is to work. Because maybe that just comes back to me, right? Stuff doesn't come natural to me.
Yeah.
I had to work for everything. One of my mantras has always been just be the hardest worker in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out everything that nobody else wants to figure out, and that's where you can really find some great value.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't seem to have that same thing. But there's also natural talent. Like that kid is way bigger than me. And again, as has been probably said many times, I'm a very small person. So if you're in Switzerland listening to us, hello for one.
Hello.
And thank you for listening. But two, I'm not a big person. I'm not a big guy, especially in Texas where everybody's huge. I'm not big.
You're not small though. I mean.
Yeah, I'm not. Okay, that's true. But I'm not. I'm 160 pounds soaking wet, 5'9". I'm a small person. and I'm 160 pounds now, right? For all my life, up until the last year and a half, I've been 150 pounds, 145 pounds. Something happened around 4 years.
All right.
Something slowed things down. Anyway, my son is way bigger. Mm-hmm. Like, his hands are bigger. His feet are bigger.
Yeah,
he's grown 4 inches this year.
Wow.
I never had a growth spurt like that.
Yeah.
Ever.
And your daughter's tall.
Yeah. She's 5'8". She's a little bit shorter than me. But, yeah. And I just want him to be, like, I'm like, man, just go out and do a pull-up.
Yeah.
Just watch. Like, I'm getting up and working out every morning. I work out every morning for an hour, hard as I can, and nothing.
Yeah.
Right? Nothing changes. But that guy, I see him get up from the chair and he grows an ab. And I'm like, what in the world, man? So anyway, it's stuff like that that makes me go, I can see it. I just want you to understand how hard it is. But the truth is, all I can do, you have the skill, do it. So anyway, sometimes I want to just reset all of those things.
I do agree with, like, pushing him, though, to work hard. I think that's something that we don't always excel at as parents and teachers, is pushing kids to work hard.
To work hard. I don't care
even
if you're the smartest person on the planet.
Yeah.
I don't care
if you're not even 100%.
Most talented. This was the thing that drove me crazy as a coach, was when I saw a kid that was uber talented,
mm-hmm.
that didn't work hard.
Yeah.
Because I knew, man, that kid could be. I had a girl pole vaulter that she could have been a D1 collegiate pole vaulter. She was that good naturally.
Right.
Just better than almost everyone else.
Right.
Naturally.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Didn't work hard at all.
Yep.
She was always skipping practice. She was always at a party. She was always doing things
right.
Way, which was very girly.
Yeah.
And I worked so hard to just try to get her understand that, and she just never would.
Yeah.
Right. And now she's like a fashionista.
Oh, yeah.
Living in Manhattan, living her best life, all those things.
Yeah.
She's fine. She's a good person.
Right.
But
and that's her dream,
and
fine.
Yeah, and that
pole vaulting maybe wasn't her dream.
That's right. But she came to me. I didn't go to
her.
Right?
Yeah.
She came to me, and I saw the talent. And I went, anyway.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Just that's where for some reason bothers me, because again, I didn't have it,
right.
And so when I see it in somebody, I want them to just be able to maximize it. I can help them to get there. And like parenting, when you know that your kid is about to do something or not do something that you know would benefit them, there's nothing more that drives you more crazy.
Yeah. And I could see, too, again, like, working hard is a good character trait to build in your kids. Maybe they're not working hard at the sport or whatever, but if their character is one that isn't working hard, like, yeah, that's a problem.
That's where you have, and that's why I have to
stay
on to them. And the truth is, my wife
do.
Is good balance,
yeah.
because I can sometimes get overbearing and she can go, hey, I think you'd back off a little bit.
Yeah.
It helps that I have four girls because
they're sensitive.
Yeah, and so I have to be a little bit more sensitive.
Yeah.
But with Jackson, I do not. But Rainy doesn't understand that. Like, no, man, listen, I was a boy. I know how boys are treated. I know what you get. And I think it's time that he hears some of this. And the truth is, he takes it pretty well most of the time.
Yeah.
But anyway, I probably just need to lean into the thing that he really likes. The problem is I'm not very good at math.
Yeah.
I'm decent at math, but I'm not like him.
Yeah.
And I definitely don't understand gaming. But I do understand coaching, and he really likes those aspects of, like, sports.
Yeah.
He doesn't like playing.
Right.
He
you
likes,
said it before. He
yeah,
likes statistics.
He likes the statistics. Yeah. He likes all of those things.
Yeah.
So if I can channel that. But again, that's what our job is as parents.
Is, yes.
Is to find, to see that sparkle in our kids' eyes,
mm-hmm.
and to cultivate that.
Yep.
Right, not to force them into some other box that we're trying to determine, but to just help them in the box that they're in,
right.
or help them to get out of the thing and figure it out. And the hardest thing for me is trying to figure out the things that he's interested in. I don't know anything about.
Yeah.
Right, and that's hard because you also have your own interests,
right.
which is why a lot of parents sometimes put their own interests aside for a long period of time and then forget who they are.
Yeah.
I don't think you should do that, because I think that if you spend all your time just
for your kids'
being
interests,
interested
yeah.
in your kids, then when your kids leave, and they will, and they sometimes don't even say thank you,
yeah.
You're sitting around looking at your spouse and at yourself and going,
who are
what
you?
Am I now?
Yeah.
Right? What is the value of me?
That's so true.
So let's talk about Christmas a little bit, too.
Yes.
How does this affect? Well, we're talking about the new year and changing and things like that. But so yesterday, if you don't know, we have a podcast and a live video chat with myself and Pastor Jesse. We call it Live at Lunch. And we're going through a series on Advent, and we talked about the name of God as Wonderful Counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that resonated with me in regards to parenting and being a parent and being a successful parent, successful person, and then helping your kids to see what they need to do as they grow up, is that the truth is when Jesus went to help heal somebody, the first thing he asked them was, do you want to be healed?
Mm-hmm.
Which seems like a silly question.
Or what do you want me to do for you? Right?
Yeah, that's
like,
right.
What's something he asked?
Yeah.
What do you want
somebody
me to do
that's lame,
for you?
Somebody that, yeah, would you rather have your hand healed or would you rather have your sins forgiven? Like, all of those, in those times, those people had to be sitting there going.
And he didn't say that question right out, but he did
yeah,
say,
he would put it in a way where what's more
you?
Important
yeah.
and what's. But in the case of the thing that we looked at yesterday, the guy, the man who'd been lame for 30 plus years, laying in the pool of Shalom, never been able to get in. There's always reasons why he didn't get in. Plus, and I said, where is that pool? Because it sounds like a really cool pool. I don't know where that is.
Because I want to go there.
I got a hip thing. I need to jump in there. I mean, anyway, that guy obviously is destitute and needs
mm-hmm.
desperately
right.
to be healed. And Jesus first asked him, do you want to be healed? Seems like a silly question.
Right.
And for us, it also seems like a silly question. Whatever we're doing, whatever we've got going on, whatever our problems are with our kids or with ourselves or our spouse, the first question you have to ask yourself is, do you want to be healed? Because what we know about God is that he's already done everything. He
yes.
laid the groundwork. He's done all of the things that
yeah.
he needs to do on his end.
Yeah.
And now he's just waiting for us to answer the question, are you ready to be healed? And I think in this season of Advent, as you are celebrating the Savior, you get caught up in a lot of different things,
mm-hmm.
and you can forget about the thing that is that 5% holdback that I talked about, mentioned earlier, that God wants 100% of you.
Yes.
And he can handle 100%
yes.
of you. He doesn't want 95% of you, and then you hold back the 5% that you're even not
I
ready to let,
myself.
Yeah, you're not ready
yes.
to let go of, or that you are... things you got to clean up before you can actually take it to God. Because that's not the way it works.
Not the way it works.
God came to you as a dirty sinner. That while we were still in our sin, Christ died for us. That's the truth. And we have to get our kids to understand that truth.
Right.
That they don't have to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
We don't expect them to be perfect.
Well, you can't
parents,
be perfect.
Yeah, you can't be perfect.
It's impossible. You've tried.
As parents, we need to understand that we're not going to be perfect either. We're going to make mistakes, but are we willing to say, I'm ready to be healed, which means I might need to go say, I'm sorry to my kid for
mm-hmm.
treating a certain way or making this mistake or admitting that I made a mistake. That is part of God's wonderful counselor. He has done all of the work.
I think, too, sometimes God just wants us to ask. So we've talked about this in our Prayer from the Back Porch. It's another video we do on Facebook. Fridays at 10 a.m. But we have talked about, like, you don't have to because you don't ask. So when Jesus comes and says, do you want to be healed? Well, duh. But sometimes he wants you to ask for it, right? He's ready. Like you said, he's already prepared everything. He's already done everything. He's just waiting for us to ask. So maybe you're struggling in your parenting and you just need to ask God for wisdom or help or counselor, any of those things.
And then be ready to do
what
he shows you to do.
Yes.
That's the other part. A
that
lot
is.
Of times,
yes,
we just don't want to.
Right.
Right. We want God to do it. Right. We want our kid to be better behaved. We want our spouse to be nicer to us. We want.
Yeah.
But the reality is we're worried about everybody else. We're not worried about ourselves.
Yeah.
The only person you can change is you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You can influence others, but you can only change you. And I think what you were just saying is goes right in line with that. And then you gotta ask,
mm-hmm.
and you gotta mean it.
Yeah.
If you don't mean it,
yes.
God knows. He knows your heart. You can fool everybody else. You can't fool God.
That's James 1 something. Like, you know, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God, and he gives generously to all. But ask, not like, you know, the shifting waves. Sorry for my bad quotation here. But, you know, ask.
There's no shame here.
Ask as one who understands. In faith, I think it says.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ask in faith, not as one who's shifting around like the waves of the ocean or whatever, where you're like, oh, I want it, but oh, I don't really mean it. And, you know, like, ask, and he's going to do it, but ask like you mean it.
And when you ask, prepare and be and understand that it is going to take a lot of work to do whatever it is that you're... The reason why we're not doing things is because there's a lot of effort that's involved,
yes.
right? whether it's putting away something that you know you shouldn't do that's sinful,
yep.
right? That takes a lot of discipline, it takes a lot of work, and it will take away a lot, some of the things that you enjoy.
Yeah.
Right? That's part of the reason why you're caught in that sin.
Right.
And I think the reason why God wants, always asks us, do we want to be healed and expects us to ask Him, is that when we finally can get to that point where we can ask,
mm-hmm.
it usually means we're ready.
Right.
And that, I think, is what the whole point of this is.
I think to get a little deeper, you know, we ask for things, we ask for help with issues and problems and things, but we don't always ask for God to reveal our sin and heal our sin. Like, that's not what we want. We just want Him to fix this relationship problem we're having, or eating problem we're having, or work problem we're having, whatever. Like, so going back to where you originally started, when Jesus came to them, He was ready to offer forgiveness of sins and eternal life. But I think we get focused on, well, I'm lame and I want that, but I don't really want,
mm-hmm.
I don't really want you to get into my personal life of my sins. That's too much, you know? And so I think we have to be at that place when we're asking God for things, where we're willing to say, take my sins too.
Jesus only healed people when it was for the greater cause of either
the gospel,
building the kingdom,
yeah. mm-hmm.
or showing them how their healing, physical healing, was so minute in regards to the greater purpose of coming to understand and know and trust who Jesus is.
That's
every
so
healing comes from
know.
That.
Yep.
That's right. And if you're only praying for your healing just so that you will be relieved of your
so you can be comfortable.
Pressure and comfortable,
yeah.
you're probably not going to get healed.
Right.
You might, but more than likely not, because that's not God's purpose. His greater purpose is way bigger than you. Sorry.
Yep.
I know this is hard to hear for some of
it's
you.
Hard to hear.
But you're not the most important thing going on. We sometimes get tied up in that,
mm-hmm.
right? We all only pray for God to heal you, God to make things easier, God to make you more comfortable,
right.
give me this better job, make more
yep.
money. If it's not going to glorify Him,
yeah.
why would He answer that?
Yep.
Because
I even read
it like
that. It was convicting. I'm trying to remember what it said, but it was basically like, we spend so much time of our spiritual life, even when you're like, you know, doing all right with God, praying for, working toward our spiritual growth. But God's more interested in the spreading of His kingdom. Like, He wants you to grow spiritually. Don't hear me say that. But sometimes we get so focused on ourselves and our own spiritual
mm-hmm.
growth that we miss opportunities to share the gospel.
Absolutely.
So
because
that was
you
really
say,
convicting.
I'm not ready.
Yeah.
You say, I'm,
yeah.
I've got to take care of this.
Yeah.
Or you go, I need to know more.
Right.
And I'm inquisitive. All those things are good. But if you're missing the mission of spreading the gospel, I've said this for a long time. I think it's one of the downfalls of the local church now,
mm-hmm.
is that we have not put enough emphasis on
mm-hmm.
sharing the gospel and
yes.
doing the mission. And we've spent a lot of time looking at how can we grow,
yeah.
right? And there's no purpose. I've told kids this from ever. If you can recite to me the whole Bible, but yet it doesn't change the way that you live,
mm-hmm.
and you don't share what you know about that Bible, it doesn't matter at all. It's completely worthless. If you can recite the whole work of Bible, like you just fumbled through some part of James, but if you were able to nail that perfectly, but that's all you knew,
right.
was just head knowledge, and it's never put into action, it's useless.
Right. Yeah. Well,
we got
a little deeper than planned to.
That, everybody. It's supposed to be kind of a relaxed Advent time, but I think the important thing we have to understand is this is not a time to take lightly. It is a time to be joyful and have a wonderful family time. But don't get all wrapped up in the things that are going on.
Yeah.
Don't get so caught up in the moments of family drama and how many presents you have to get and what if our house doesn't look just right. Or don't miss the bigger picture of who Jesus is
mm-hmm.
and why we celebrate this season. And then most importantly, what this means, His coming, what it meant as a fulfillment of prophecy, but also what He would do
mm-hmm.
On the cross and through the resurrection that ultimately changes your life forever and then makes you part of the family that gets a chance to continue to expand His kingdom. So yeah, it was a serious talk. Next week, maybe we'll talk.
Lighten it up a little bit.
Yeah, something else. I don't know what else it could be, but I didn't know what this would be either. So
yeah.
this is good. So
it's
anyway,
fun.
Thank you guys for joining us for Parenting Matters. Again, like, share, subscribe, do whatever it is that you can do to help push this out there. Yep. Tell a friend. If you've got some, if you got a neighbor or a friend that is struggling with parenting, hey, put them onto the podcast. Yep. Parenting Matters on all different podcast sites. And then you guys have a conversation. Have them listen to the same podcast. You guys listen to the same podcast and then go back and talk about it and watch what happens when God is given an opportunity to do something great. Mm-hmm. All right. So thanks so much for joining us. We hope you have a great week. We'll see you again next week.
See you later.